For coming again. So today the topic of our discussion is going to be books B. So you remember which topics we covered last weeks? We covered diet and chanting. Okay, so today we will be covering the importance of deepening our philosophical insights. Okay, this is also a very important topic. So you all have been coming after a long day of work, isn't it? You might have had a very hectic day, isn't it? No? Some of you all might have been going to offices and coming back, or from business or something. So I know some of you may be tired, you know, but still we'll have to sit through, you know. It's going to be philosophical, it's going to be a little technical, but if you sit through it, it'll be, with patience, it'll be very, very useful for you. So, there is a Vedic aphorism which says, Tamaso ma jyotir gamaya, which means that we have to come from darkness. Tamas means darkness, and you have to come to light. So what is darkness? Darkness means ignorance. Now, most of the people, according to the Vedas, are in ignorance. Why? Because everyone is thinking that they are the body. This is the beginning of all ignorance, to think that we are this body. But actually the Shastra says we are not this body. And therefore, because we are thinking we are this body, there are various problems which come up in the life of living beings. So to realize who we are is the beginning of all knowledge, all education. So therefore we have to understand that we are ignorant. We don't know. Most of the people, as you might have heard in Hindi, they say moha. Moha, maya. Isn't it? Which means that people are in illusion. And people think that we will live forever, nothing is going to happen to us. Or even if they don't think like this, they make plans like that. So we have to go from ignorance, we have to go to the light, to enlightenment. So this should be the goal of our life. So it is explained, Krishna Surya Sama, Maya Hai Andhakar, Jaha Krishna Taha Nahi Mayar Adhikar. That just like when the sun rises, all darkness is dissipated. So similarly, Krishna is compared to the sun. When we get Krishna into our lives, then all the darkness, all the ignorance which is there in our hearts is immediately dissipated. And we get enlightenment. What does it mean to bring Krishna into our lives? How can we bring Krishna into our lives? So, it is explained in the holy scripture Srimad Bhagavatam that when the Lord Shri Krishna ascended back to the spiritual world, he descended in the form of the holy scripture called Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna Swadhama Pagate Dharmo Jnana Adhisaha, which means that when Krishna Swadhama Pagate, he went back to his own abode along with Dharma and Jnana. When Krishna went back to his abode, Dharma and Jnana also left along with him, and the Kali Yuga began, and the spiritual deterioration of the people came about. Then it is said, Kalau Nashta Drishamesha Puranarko Dhunoditaha, that in order to give light to the people, ignorant people in the age of Kali Yuga, Krishna descended in the form of the holy scripture, Srimad Bhagavatam. So, when we read Srimad Bhagavatam, we actually get direct association of Krishna. Because Krishna incarnates in various forms, in the form of the Murti, Archa Vigraha, as you take darshan of the Lord in the temple. So another incarnation of Krishna is in the form of a book, that is Srimad Bhagavatam and Gita Upanishad, the Gita. That's why if you go to a temple, and in fact many authorized temples, you'll find that the Bhagavatam has been worshipped. You know, they take the Bhagavatam on the head and they do fairy like that. Why? Because the book Bhagavat is considered non-different from personally Shri Krishna. So, understanding that the people were in ignorance, majority of the people are in ignorance, Srila Prabhupada in 1944, he started a magazine called as Back to Godhead. And in this book, he wrote the practical applications of the teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam so that people can be benefited. And he called this book Back to Godhead. So this is the book which he started, and he called it Back to Godhead. And he said, he gave this title, Godhead is light, nescience is darkness. Where there is Godhead, there is no nescience. So, as I was explaining to you, or probably you might have heard this, that once some of our preachers was giving a lecture in a foreign country. And you know, there were two ladies also sitting in the audience. Are you aware of this? Okay. So what happened was, these two ladies were very fat, very fat, obese ladies. And naturally, as you know, that fat people think that I should become thin. Thin people think that I should become fat, little fat, isn't it? Or fair people are thinking I should be a little dark. Or dark people are thinking I should be a little fair. Oh, my nose is like this, should have been like this. Or old people are thinking I wish I would have been younger for a longer time. So none of them are satisfied with their present condition. So these ladies were sitting in the audience. And one of the sannyasis was giving the lecture. So he, in his lecture, he was saying, we are not this body, we are a spirit souls. He was preaching like that. So when he heard, those two ladies, when they heard this, they immediately said, oh, what a relief to know we are not this body. Because when you think you are the body, there are various anxieties which come along with it. But when you get knowledge, spiritual knowledge, that you are Atma, you never die, it gives you a lot of hope, it gives you a lot of happiness, isn't it? To know that you are not anything of this physical body. Because along with the body, along with the ignorance comes a lot of misery. With ignorance comes a lot of misery. That's why when people celebrate Diwali, isn't it? Now Diwali is coming up, isn't it? Have you ever wondered what is the significance of this festival? When we light the lamp, what is the meaning of this? It means that our lives are full of darkness. And we have to bring light into our lives. And how can we bring light into our lives? Knowledge into our lives? By welcoming Lord Shri Ram into our lives. But generally we see that most of the celebrations today, I mean, to be very frank with you, is nothing but a bunch of rituals. People celebrate Diwali simply for enjoyment, recreation. Children will come, they'll purchase some crackers, they'll burn some crackers, some effigy of Ravan will be there, they will burn it. And some people come dressed up very nicely as a social gathering, you know, just so that, you know, they can, it's another opportunity to chill out, to have a nice, you know, good time basically. So all of the festivals today, if you see Hindu festivals, to be very frank, has become nothing but a bunch of social gatherings. Isn't it? That's a fact. People have forgotten the essence of what is the significance of festivals. So therefore we have to understand what is the significance of these festivals. It means to bring God into our lives. It means to become enlightened. It means to now start rendering service to the Supreme Lord. We have to practically render service to Him. That is the meaning, that is the significance of festivals. That's why we say that when we come to the temple, we come to take darshan. But we have to be careful. Sometimes when I used to come to the temple, I used to come not to take darshan but to give darshan. You know, we want people to see us, you know, and acknowledge our presence, isn't it? Sometimes even when people go to the temple, they are dressed up in such flamboyant dresses, you know, such flashy dresses, that everyone sort of looking at the deities will take a glimpse of this person who has come. So this is unfortunately the situation which has, you know, is taking place today. Every spiritual center, temple, festival has become nothing but a bunch of superficial rituals only. Just another place where people can have a good time. Just like in Lord Ganesh festival, which is taking place these days, isn't it? With due respects to Lord Ganesh. Ganesh is a very respectable personality. He's a demigod. But you see what is happening. People are putting, you know, rap and reggae and kind of music in, you know, Ganesh Utsav. They chant some mantras, and after that, what they do? They are having all these kind of, rap and pop music. It's okay if it is glorification of Lord Ganesh, but it is nothing got to do with glorification of Lord Ganesh. It is just simply what? Sense gratification. And people are dancing in vulgar ways and all. You've seen that? It happens. And people play sometimes in the night, they play gambling. You know, they gamble in the base of the Ganesh Murti. And they're not bothered actually. They drink and they sleep there only. In front of Lord Ganesh. So the thing is, people have lost the essence. People have forgotten what is the essence of the rituals that is there. That's why it is said that when the spirit of the ritual is lost, when the spirit is gone, then what remains is ritual. Just like there was a Brahmin. He was a very staunch Brahmin. And he was a very, very, you know, strict follower of all the rules and regulations of Brahmanical principles. So one day, he slept. And it was time for his Gayatri. Sandhya time, it was time for his Gayatri. So he overslept during that time. So one boy, he woke him up and said that, you know, it is time for your Gayatri, please chant your Gayatri. So immediately he saw, oh, it's Sandhya time. And he started chanting. So after he chanted, he asked his boy, who are you? And why did you wake me up? So he said, my name is Kali. I am Kali personified. I am evil personified. He said, really? You are evil personified? Then why did you wake me up and reminded me of spiritual duties? Because the duty of Kali is to stop people from following religious principles. But you are encouraging me. What happened? You forgot your duty or what? Have you changed your personality? So he said, no. I am doing my job very well. How is that? You are reminding me to chant my Gayatri and you are saying that you are doing a duty? How is that? So he said, because you are a very puffed up Brahmin. And you had such pride over you following all the principles so strictly that if you would have forgotten to chant this mantra, you would have become humble because you made a mistake. And because of that, you would have made a lot of advancement in spiritual life. So therefore, I wanted to remind you of your spiritual duties so that you continue with your duties and continue remain proud, and so that you will always be my follower of Kali. So this is a story which very wonderfully indicates that even those people many times may forget the essence of following religious principles. Those who are religious may also forget for what they are following religious principles. And it may be for some kind of self-respect or self-esteem, like that. And we can see, not just in Hindu religion, but also in other religions, like in Christianity. If you read the Bible, you can understand that when Jesus was preaching, the Pharisees, the Jews, they would follow certain principles like the Sabbath, where they would not work on that day. No work is supposed to be done on the day of Sabbath. And Jesus would go and he would preach. And sometimes when people would be sick, or they would be blind, or they would be lame, and he would cure them by his powers. And those Pharisees became so envious of Jesus, they said that how can you cure people on the day of Sabbath when you are not supposed to do any job? You are not supposed to do any work. So they could not recognize what Jesus was contributing to the society. He was trying to explain that compassion, the principle of compassion, is higher than some lower principle of following some rules and regulations and some rituals. Because when the essence of a rule is forgotten, the rule fails to serve the purpose. Just like when Srila Prabhupada went to the West and started preaching to the Western people, many of the so-called caste Brahmins in India started protesting that how could Prabhupada, being a sannyasi, cross the ocean and go to the West? Because according to the Shastra, going to the West is considered, a degraded place. Untouchables and those people live there, Yavans and Mlechas. So a sannyasi is not supposed to cross the ocean. That is the injunction. But Prabhupada went. Then he gave sannyas to the Westerners, and people started criticizing, how is it, how can you give sannyas to, low-born people like that. But Prabhupada understood the essence of the rule, of the rituals. And therefore, he could actually establish God's mission in the whole world. And we can see today that how the principles of Krishna consciousness is being propagated so wonderfully all over the world by the ISKCON. So therefore, to understand the essence of religious principles is a very important concept. So, as we can see in Ramayana, that what was, people read Ramayana, but they don't know that what are the teachings of Ramayana? Like Lakshman, for that matter, he had renounced his kingdom and followed his brother to the forest. For what purpose? For the sake of service to Lord Ram. He never slept for 14 years. He was always on guard, taking care of Ram and Sita. Even though he was a prince, but he left the kingdom. We can see Bharat Maharaj. We went to Ayodhya just a few months back. We went to Nandigram. And Nandigram is a place where Bharat Maharaj performed tapasya. Now when Ram was banished to the forest by Kaikeyi, Kaikeyi wanted Bharat to be installed on the royal throne. But Bharat was such a great devotee of Lord Ram, he gave up his mother only, said that you are useless because you have given up Lord Ram. Lord Ram is my master. So he went to the forest, asked Lord Ram to come back and take the throne. And I will go to the forest to fulfill the vow of my father that he gave to my mother. But you should rule. And I will go to the forest. But Lord Ram said, no, that cannot be. You should go and rule. And I will be in the forest for 14 years. But Bharat said, no, if you are not coming to the kingdom, then I will rule the kingdom on your behalf till you come back. But I vow that if you do not come back, I will give up my life. And I take a vow that I will not enter the kingdom myself. I will stay outside the kingdom and I will live underground. And we went to Nandigram and we saw the place that Bharat, there is a place where he has dug a hole in the ground and Bharat would sleep in the hole. Because he felt that Lord Ram is sleeping on the floor in the forest. How can I sleep on the royal beds? In fact, I cannot even sleep on the ground. I should sleep underground, below the level of my master. So even though he had access to all the wealth and the riches, Bharat Maharaj was personally setting an example that how people who are worshippers of Lord Ram, who are celebrating Diwali, must have the mood of service to Lord Ram. Bharat Maharaj was setting an example that even though he had a kingdom, he had a property, he had beautiful wives, he had money, he had everything at his disposal, but he gave up everything for the service of his master Lord Ram. And he led a life of austerity, sacrifice and penance. Why? Out of love for his master. And what did he eat? He ate barley mixed with cow urine. Not as an achar or something. Huh? He was eating it as the main diet. So, we have to understand that by reading Ramayana, we must actually follow in the footsteps of Lakshman, in the footsteps of Bharat, in the footsteps of Hanuman, who completely dedicated their lives for the service of Sri Ram. This is the essence. And people have forgotten today. So therefore, it is very important to get education. We need to be educated that what are the true religious principles. Therefore Krishna says, Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutthanam adharmasya tadatmanam shijamyam. That there is a tendency for religious principles to be lost over a period of time. And people need to be reminded over and over again about what is religious principles. Because the nature of material life is that we tend to forget. What? That life is temporary. We have come with nothing, we will be going with nothing. Isn't it? So what is the goal of life? The goal of life is to serve God. To dedicate a life in the service of God. So therefore, awareness of our ignorance is a very important first step to making progress in spiritual life. Therefore it is said, Athato Brahma Jignyasa. You know, just like there is a boy who went to a Mridanga teacher and he said, I want to learn Mridanga. You can see this, Mridanga. So the teacher asked him, do you know anything about Mridanga? So he says, nothing sir, I don't know anything. I have never touched a Mridanga, I have never seen a Mridanga and I want to study Mridanga. So he said, okay, never mind, come from tomorrow and we start our classes. So I said, how much do I pay for it? How much is their fees? So he said, you have to pay 500 rupees per month and I'll start teaching you. I said, good. So he goes back and tells his friend that, you know, I have started this Mridanga classes. I said, really? Wow, where? How much did he charge you? He said, 500 rupees only. And he's an expert Mridanga player. I said, wonderful. So he said, I will also come. So he also came the next day, met the teacher and he said, sir, I also want to learn Mridanga. Can you teach me? The teacher asked him, do you know anything about Mridanga? So he says, yes. I know that Tereketa and I know this. And I've been playing since about a few weeks. And I know quite a few steps. He said, okay, fine. you can come tomorrow and you can join the classes. Your fees will be 1,000 rupees. So 1,000? My friend came yesterday, you charged him 500 rupees. And now you are charging me 1,000? So he said, because your friend didn't know anything. So what I'm going to tell him is going to be written on a fresh blank slate. But now what you have learned is all wrong. Because you never approached the guru. And now what I have to do is extra work. Of first cleaning up all the mess that you have put in your mind. And then teach you the right thing. So for that I'm charging extra 500 rupees. So basically what is happening is that. Many times when we come to Krishna consciousness or when we come to spiritual life, also because of the human nature, it is people assume that they know. And people are not humble enough to accept that they don't know. Because unless we don't think that we don't know, then what happens is that we never learn. Just like, you know, there was a matka dhakkan samvad. You know this? The lid and the pot. They were having a discussion. So the lid told the pot that, look, you have given water to so many people, but you have not given me any water. So the pot said, you are sitting on my head. How can I give you water? Bow down before me and then I can give you water. Because unless one is not on a lower level, you cannot get. The water does not flow from lower to higher. It flows always from higher level to the lower level. So similarly, in spiritual life, awareness of our ignorance and humility is a very important first step to getting knowledge. Therefore, in the Gita 13th chapter, it is said, Amanitvam adambhitvam ahimsa shantirajavam acharyupasanam shaucham sthairyam atmavinigraham. Amanitvam means humility. Humility, which means I don't know. Like that. So, I don't know. So, that's why they said, if you think you know, you don't know. If you think that you don't know, then you know something. You know? So it is like that. So, therefore, athato brahma jigyasa. Therefore, brahma jigyasa. Inquire. Into what? Into Brahman. Brahman means spiritual life. God, Atma, mind, etc. So this is the beginning verse of the Srimad Vedanta Sutra. It begins with athato brahma jigyasa. Which means that you have tried your best to become happy in your life, you have failed, therefore inquire into spirit. So approach an authority is the second process. You have to approach a guru. Without a guru, you cannot understand spiritual life. Many times people say, I purchased a Gita, main padha, but I couldn't understand. You know, it's very difficult. Obviously, how can you understand Gita? And how you have not read the Gita first of all. Because if you would have read a Gita, you would accept the Guru. Because in the Gita itself it is said, Tad Vidhi Pranipatena, that you need a Guru to understand Gita. So people read Gita and they say, I have not understood. That means obviously. Because they have not approached authority. To understand Gita, you need to surrender to Guru. Without Guru it is not possible. And acting according to the injunctions of authority. Karishye vachanam tava. So Arjuna was told by Krishna that you do whatever you want. I have explained to you Gita. Now you make your choice what you want to follow. But Arjuna said, I don't want to follow what I think is right. I want to follow what you are saying. Karishye vachanam tava. What you are saying I want to follow. So we must follow in the footsteps of Arjuna. We must follow Krishna. We must follow the injunctions of the Gita. And now Krishna is not present in front of us, but we must follow the instructions of his representatives, his bona fide representative, that is the Guru. So it is explained here, as I said previously, that when Krishna ascended Bhagavatam descended. So if you want to get association of Krishna, you should read Bhagavat. What happens? Why read Bhagavat? So in the Srimad Bhagavat itself it is said, Yaya sammohito jiva atmanam trigunatmakam. That due to this external energy, the living entities, although transcendental to the three modes of material nature, thinks of himself as a material product and thus undergoes the reactions of material miseries. Do you know how people catch parrots? You know, there is a technique. These people, sometimes when they know that parrots come to certain trees, they put a rod and they put a barrel around it. They put a barrel. So when the parrot comes and sits on it, that thing starts rotating. So when the parrot sits, he slips. So when he's slipping, he thinks that he should balance himself. And he struggles. And he forgets that he can fly. He forgets he can fly. And the person comes and he catches the parrot and puts it in the cage. The parrot can fly, isn't it? But he's so caught up in trying to balance himself while sitting on that thing, you know, because it keeps moving like that, that he forgets that he can fly. So similarly, the living entity is very powerful. He is spiritual. He never dies. He never gets diseases because he is Atma. But he forgets his true potential because he is engrossed in materialistic activities. And when his body becomes diseased, his body dies, he becomes very anxious and he becomes full of anxieties and miseries. That's why it is said by Chanakya Pandit, Chinta yati chita yati bindhu matra visheshata. There are two words, chinta and chitta. The only difference is bindu. In chitta, if you put that bindu, it becomes chinta. So chinta yati chitta yatri bindu matra visheshataha. Chinta dahati jivanam, chitta dahati nirjivanam. Chinta burns the living people and chitta burns the dead people. But both burn. While living people are burned by anxieties, chinta, and when he dies, the chitta burns them. So this is life. Why? Here it is explained in Bhagavat that the living entity is transcendental. He doesn't have to suffer these problems, but because he is engrossed in the three modes of material nature, in materialistic activities, in moha and maya, he is trapped. So much of anxieties. And how we can overcome this, it is said, the message, central message of the Bhagavat is to surrender our free will and serve Krishna. So to develop love and devotion for Krishna is the central message of Bhagavat. Because if you carefully analyze, what can satisfy us? Nothing but love. If a person doesn't love anyone, he is the most frustrated person. And you can see that if you analyze. Like a small child is born. As soon as he is born, he recognizes his mother and he loves his mother. After some time, he recognizes who his father is. He loves his father. After some time, he finds that there are some children coming and pinching him and, you know, tickling him and... Who are these people? And he realizes, oh, they are my brothers and sisters. So he starts loving his brothers and sisters. And later on, he comes to know his relatives, his friends, then his community members, his society, and eventually the nation, and then eventually he starts loving the humanity, he starts loving all of God's creation, isn't it? That's the nature of love. That you first love your father, your mother, your brothers, sisters, and it goes on increasing. No one can live without loving someone and without serving someone. Everyone has to love and serve someone. And if you don't have anyone to love, then people will get a dog or something and have a pet. and they will take care of the pet, and they will caress the pet, give it bath, etc., isn't it? Like in America, dogs are very, one of the, it is said as the best friend of man. You know, it's like that. Why? Because everyone has a dog there. And they have parlors for the dog, for keeping different hairstyles for the dog, giving different haircuts for the dog. Why? Because they have forgotten God, therefore there is dog. G-O-D, God, D-O-G, dog. If you forget to love God, then you have to love dog. But love you must. You see, Prabhupada used to say, to love and to serve is cannot be avoided. Everyone has to love someone, everyone has to serve someone. But the problem is that if you love anyone else apart from God, what follows is misery. Because no one in this world has the potential to reciprocate with us in the way we expect. Because the only true lover is God. He's the best lover. There's no one better than God when it comes to loving. And when it comes to being strict, then no one can be stricter than God. That is also there. So therefore, we must understand, to love and serve God is the central message of all Vedic literatures, all religions also. Like in the Bible it is said, you must love thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Isn't it? That's the first commandment. And then second commandment, you should love thy neighbor as thyself. See? That means these are central messages of all religion. In Sanatana Dharma it is said, smartavyam satatam Vishnu vismartavyam na jatuchit. Always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. Krishna explains the Gita, bhakti tu ananyaya shakya. Bhakti means love, devotion for God. Is the only way how you can understand Krishna. Central message is the same. Even Quran it is said, Allah, you should surrender to God. Allah means what? All merciful. You must surrender. Islam means what? To surrender. Islam means what? To surrender. Surrender means what? To do what God says. Not to do what I think it is right, but to do what God says. So to surrender our free will out of love for God is the essence of Bhagavat. So now, what is knowledge? So many times when it comes to knowledge, you see many scientists, they are doing research, trying to find out knowledge through research and development. But in spiritual life, you cannot get knowledge by research. Why? Because man has got defective senses. We are limited. We cannot understand reality with our current our apparatus that we have, our senses. It is not in a position to give us knowledge. Only God, who is free from the defects, can give us knowledge. He is beyond this world, He is free beyond this material creation. And a perfect person only can give us perfect knowledge. And that is why we find that Gita has never changed. But these textbooks, newspapers, magazines, journals, they all keep changing. Isn't it? Why? Because of this. Because man gives knowledge is always relative knowledge. Like one of our preachers was distributing books in a train and one person was telling, "Arey, what is this? Kya gita bechta hai tum log? Abhi computer ka zaman hai, computer ka kitab becho tum. Computer journal becho tum." He is telling like that. And that person who was distributing the Gita, he was a graduate from Indian Institute of Technology, Powai. And this person who was advising him is an illiterate. See the paradox. They don't understand what is true knowledge and what is ignorance. So, even when we distribute books, we tell them, this Gita costs 70 rupees. And in 1 month, you spend more than 70 rupees for newspapers. And after 1 month, you put the newspapers in garbage, raddi. But Gita, you spend 70 rupees forever you are there. Even after you die, the Gita will be at home. Isn't it? This is the value of spiritual knowledge. Time has changed. Modern ho gaya man. But what modern ho gaya man? Are people started eating nuts and bolts? No. Chips, microchips. No, people are not started eating all these things. People are still eating rice, dal, chapati, sambar. People are still growing old, people are still getting diseased, people are still dying. So the basic of life has never changed. Life has always remained the same. People feel that, you know, time has changed, so everything has changed. No, but the Gita always remains the same. Therefore, why it is like that? Because it's coming from a perfect source. And it is handed down by Brahma. Krishna gives the knowledge, Supreme Lord gives the knowledge to Brahma, and Brahma hands it down to his disciples. Like we can see here, he gives it to Narada, then Narada gives it to Vyas, and Vyas gives it to his subsequent disciples. So this is the history of the Gita as explained by Krishna in the Gita. Imam vivasvate yogam proktavanaham avyayam. So he says that Imam vivasvate yogam, that I gave this knowledge first to Sun God, and then he gave it to Manu, the father of man, and next he gave it to Ikshvaku, who was the king. So that's how the knowledge of the Shastras is handed down from person to person. So spiritual knowledge is not a matter of research, it is a matter of accepting as it is given by God. You cannot research on Gita. It's not possible. So the oldest knowledge is the knowledge of the Gita. As it is explained in the Gita itself, that the Gita is so many years ago it was spoken by Krishna to the Supreme, to the Sun God. 1.2 million years ago. So the original Guru is God Himself who gives the knowledge. So in the Padma Puran, the four bona fide sampradayas are given. What are the four bona fide sampradayas? The Shri Sampradaya. If you go to South India, you will see the Ramanuja Sampradaya people. They wear a different kind of tilak. They wear a big white band here and they wear a single line here in the forehead. They are Ramanandis. Ramanuja followers. It's not Ramanandi, sorry. Ramanuja followers. Sri Sampradaya people. He is Ramanujacharya. Then it is explained that there is Brahma Sampradaya. Madhvacharya is a prominent acharya who propagated this message in this parampara. And we, ISKCON, comes under this parampara. Brahma, Madhva, Gaudiya, parampara. Madhvacharya is here. You can see his pose here. Two. Right? He says like this. Two. Which means that when Buddha preached, he preached zero. Which means Shunyavadi. Everything, nothing exists. Everything is an illusion. Shankaracharya came and he preached that everything is one. We are all gods. We are all one. Then Madhvacharya came and he said, not one but two. God and we are two different people. Two different personalities. That is Madhvacharya's philosophy. That we are not gods, we are servants of God. Some people think we are gods. We will all become gods after we realize God. That's not true. Rudra Sampradaya. The prominent Acharya is Sripad Vishnu Swami. So these are the bona fide Sampradayas. And if you get knowledge from any of these Sampradayas, the knowledge is basically the same. Essence is the same. But if you get knowledge from anywhere else, then we cannot guarantee the authenticity of the knowledge. You know, people come out with so many stories. They know, they heard here, they heard here and all. The spirituality is something which everyone would like to speak and discuss. Irrespective of, you know, what background they are coming from. Isn't it? So therefore, it is very important to get knowledge in parampara. So these four paramparas are compared to universities from where if you can get proper knowledge. If you go anywhere else, you will be you will not get authentic knowledge. You will be misguided. So authentic spirituality is based on a tripod: Shastra, Guru and Sadhu. We must check what is saying, what is the Shastra saying, what is the Sadhu saying and what is the Guru saying. This is a tripod. Unless the tripod is not having three legs, it will be wobbling, isn't it? So this is the check balance. Guru and Sadhu, they are one and the same, but Guru is like your personal spiritual master. Sadhu are basically the general assembly of bona fide devotees. Like for example, last Sunday was last to last Sunday was Vaman appearance day, and we were discussing the appearance of Lord Vaman day. And in that past time, we can see that Vaman appeared to Bali, and Bali, he was giving charity. We told Vaman, "What do you want?" So he said, "I want 3 steps of land." So his guru told him that, "Don't give this person, his dwarf, his god only. He's come to take charity from you, and he will take away everything that you have. Don't give him charity." So he said, "You are my guru. You are supposed to tell me to surrender to God, and you are telling me not to surrender to God. And you are not my guru." Understood? That means that it is explained. Shukracharya, who was his guru, was, for his bakshish. Sometimes, pujaris come do some puja and then they expect some bakshish. No? So he was interested, that he was thinking that if Bali gives everything in charity, he'll become a pauper and he will lose his bakshish. So he said, "Don't give." See, so sometimes it may happen. So therefore a check balance is required. So what Bali used was the check balance. He saw what Shastra is telling. Shastra says surrender to Krishna. What are the sadhus saying? Surrender to God. But what are the gurus saying? He's saying something else. So that is how we check. You see? So what happened? Then ultimately Bali gave charity. He gave, and he, everything was taken away from him. God gave, took everything from him. So benefit of reading Srila Prabhupada's book. So what is the other benefits? Anartho pashamam sakshat bhakti yoga madokshaje lokasya janato vidvams chakre satvat samhitam. The material miseries of the living entity are superfluous to him, and this can be mitigated by reading Srimad Bhagavatam and by accepting the process of devotional service. And how we can read it? Either we read it directly or we simply hear. We just come for these some sessions like this, attend some seminars, and we are actually hearing Bhagavat. Okay, we are hearing Bhagavat, nothing else. Now what I am telling you is nothing but Bhagavat. Now you may say, okay, there are so many books, Vedas are so elaborate, which book should I read? So here Krishna is explaining that of all the Vedas, Vedesh Sarver Aham Ev Vedyo Vedanta Krit Veda Vedeva Chaha. Of all the Vedas, I am to be known. I am the compiler of Vedas and I am the knower of the Vedas. And it is explained by Krishna that if you are studying the Gita, those who study the Gita actually worship Krishna with his intelligence. So the best spiritual literature you can read is Gita and Bhagavat, because they contain the essence of all the Vedic literatures. So the common fallacy, common misunderstanding that people have today is to think that God is an ordinary person, or to think that an ordinary person is God. These are the common misunderstandings people have today. Just like there was a man who came to a temple. I think God Gopal Prabhu might have told you this. And he was saying, "Thank you for worshipping me in the altar so nicely." Understood? He's saying, "Thank you for worshipping me in the altar so nicely." I mean, he's thinking that he is God. This is the problem. And the people started discussing with him, the devotees. He said, "How can you be God? You are having so many diseases, so much of problems. How you can be God?" He said, "No, now I have not realized that I am God, but when I realize that I am God, then I will become God." And the discussion went on. After some time, he said, "Can you tell me where is the toilet?" So the devotee said, "Are you are saying you are God, you should know where the toilet is." So, no. And then discussion continued. So after some time, he still couldn't control. He said, "Excuse me, can you tell me where the toilet is? First you accept you are not God, then I will tell you where the toilet is." He said, okay, I accept I am not God, now tell me where the toilet is." So he said, "That's right, good, go out, take a right." So he goes, he comes back, relaxed, smiling. So the devotee said, "So you have ultimately accepted, you are not God?" "No, I am God only." "So what is this? Just a few minutes back you said you are not God." "That was my pastime, that's my leela." He actually said like this. Believe this? So people think either they are gods or God is just like them. Something, one of these two they think. Just like when Duryodhan was, there, Krishna came as a Shanti Dut to Duryodhan to tell him that surrender, give at least 5 villages to the Pandavas. And Duryodhan said that this Krishna is the main cause of trouble, we should capture him. So he called the soldiers and he said, imprison him. So when they came, Krishna showed his universal form. His universal form. And Duryodhan is looking at it and he's thinking, oh, this Krishna is some magician or something like that. He still couldn't accept that Krishna was God. See? So therefore, to understand that Krishna is God and to understand that we are not Krishna is the very important concept which we must understand it properly. So what is important is not in seeing God, like many people say, show me God, then I'll believe. I want to see God, then I will believe that God exists. But here is the proof that Duryodhan was seeing God, but he could not believe that he was God. Why? Because it is not necessary to see God to believe him. It is necessary to change your attitude towards him. You have to change your attitude. Because Duryodhan was having such an inimical attitude towards Krishna, that even when he saw Krishna, he could not recognize him. So, when you change your attitude, when we develop qualities like humility, service attitude, then Krishna reveals knowledge within our hearts by which we can begin to understand God. So, understanding God or getting knowledge is not just in our hands that we open a book and we read it and we get knowledge. In the Gita it is explained that this is most confidential knowledge, secret knowledge. Now what's so secret? You can purchase 70 rupees Gita and you can read it and you know the secret. Now how is it a secret? It's secret because even though you may be reading the Gita, you will not understand the essence of the Gita. Because it is hidden. And unless one does not develop these qualities of humility, because to think one is God is the greatest sense of pride. Because God is the supreme person, correct? To think I am God, which means that you are thinking you are the greatest person. So when such a mentality, one can never understand spiritual life. Because we have come into this material world in the first place to become gods. And we can only go out of this world when we think we are not God, but we are servants of God. You see? So people come to spiritual life and continue with this mentality, and it becomes a source of great trouble, an obstacle on their path. So here it is explained that what are the qualities we have to develop? The attitude of faith. You have to develop that faith. That Krishna's perfection, and then we can attract Krishna's mercy. So faith is a very important thing. If you don't have faith, then we cannot make progress. And faith we have to put somewhere, isn't it? Either we put faith on the materialistic people, or we have to put faith on what God says. Correct? We have to put faith somewhere. Question is where we want to put the faith. Man cannot be faithless. Just like a small child, he asks his mother who the father is. Mother says, he is your father. And he has faith. It's not that he makes some experiments to find out blood samples or something like that. He just accepts. So therefore, it is very important to have faith. Even in the Bible, you see that Jesus, he comes walking on the sea towards the boat of his disciples, apostles. And the disciples see at Jesus walking on the water and he thinks, my God, a ghost has come. So they start shouting, oh, ghost. And Jesus says, I'm not a ghost, I'm Jesus. Really? If you are really Jesus, then call me to also walk on the water. And Jesus says, Peter, come. And then Peter comes out of the boat and starts walking on the water. But then a wind comes and he starts sinking. And he says, save me master. And then Jesus immediately gives him his hand and picks him out from the water. And he says, why did you doubt? Why didn't you have faith? And then he told him, if you have this faith of a mustard seed, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you tell the mountain to move and the mountain will move. So therefore, faith is very important. Faith that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, this process is good, this process is the absolute process, it will work, I have to perfect my life. Faith that, you know, the acharyas are not cheating us, they are not coming to cheat us. You know, this kind of faith is very important. And Prabhupada, when he went to the West, he told that if you are just convinced that I am not here to cheat you, you know, you will perfect your life. So the desire to serve. So we must develop a desire to serve. So Gita can be understood only by those people who develop this attitude. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada, when he translated this word bhakti into English, he translated it as devotional service, not as devotion only. Why? Because devotion means, bhakti means service. Just like a mother, when she loves her child, she is ready to do anything for the child. It's not that she keeps cuddling the child and kissing the child and does nothing for it when the child cries. Isn't it? I still remember when I was a child, when I was younger, I used to, you know, I had my cousin sisters and all. Cousin brothers, cousins, and I should keep on carrying them and, you know, taking them here and there and playing with them. But the moment they start crying, I leave them. Mother says, what is this? When you want to play, you are together. But when they want something, that time you go away. This is not love. Correct? That we understand. Love means what? Service. You have to do something practical. So similarly, when you speak about bhakti to the Lord, it means practical service. So once Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, the spiritual master of Srila Prabhupada, he was approached by one very wealthy man, Madan Mohan Malviya, very big industrialist. And he said, I have a question for you. So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati said, I am a little busy right now. You can go inside and there is a brahmachari inside. You can ask him your questions. So this man went inside and he found that brahmachari was busy in washing the pots, washing the vessels. So he said, excuse me, I have a question to ask you. Can I ask you something? So he said, I am busy washing the vessels. Can you help me out with this? After we finish, then I can. So that very wealthy man, raised his dhoti, folded his sleeves and started also helping out in the washing. So after the washing was over, this brahmachari asked him, so what was your question? So the man said, well, my questions have been answered. I have no more questions. So this story was spoken by Srila Prabhupada saying that when we render service, all the doubts that we have in spiritual life become completely answered. Many times we don't have faith, isn't it? How do we get that faith? How we get the understanding? It comes by rendering practical service. Gratitude, that is also a very important quality. To be grateful. Just like when Dhruva Maharaj, the pastime is there of Dhruva in the Bhagavatam, that when he was 5 years old, he was insulted by his stepmother. His stepmother told him that you are not qualified to sit on your father's lap because you are the son of my step co-wife. If you take birth from my womb, if you were my son, you could have sat on your father's lap. And his father was a king. He felt so offended and so insulted that he went to his mother crying. So his mother told him that never mind, you go to the forest, worship Krishna, and he will be pleased with you and he will give you all whatever you need. So he actually goes to the forest, performs meditation, and within 6 months' time, God appears to him and benedicts him. So at the end of his life, Dhruva Maharaj, it is explained in Bhagavatam that the Vaikuntha Viman, the aeroplane from the spiritual world came and landed in front of Dhruva and said, you have perfected your life, now you can go back to the spiritual world. So at that time, before stepping inside the airplane, he said, what about my mother? Because it was my mother who directed me on the path of spiritual life. So my mother is actually my guru. So I cannot go back before my mother. I want to see her go first. So those Vaikuntha, you know, Vishnu Dutas, as they say, they said, don't worry, look into that plane, that another plane they are flying back to the spiritual world. Your mother is sitting in that. So Dhruva saw that his mother was already on her way back home, back to Godhead. And then he boarded the plane and he went back home, back to Godhead. So this pastime is said about gratitude for those who, for the guru who actually initiates us in the spiritual knowledge. Because for a person who is ungrateful, he can never make spiritual progress. Therefore the Shastra explained that these are very essential processes of getting knowledge. Freedom from envy. We should not envy anyone, especially the guru. You know. So Krishna says to Arjuna, Idam tute guhyatamam pravaksha manasuyave. Is that because you are non-envious, anusuya. Suya means envy. Anusuya means you are non-envious. So because Arjuna was non-envious, this knowledge of the Gita was given to Arjuna. So Gita can be understood only by that person who is non-envious. He should be non-envious. If one is grateful, non-envious, and having a service attitude and is faithful, surely the knowledge of the Gita will be revealed to him. Simplicity of heart. You know, we have one devotee who came to teach us how to cook South Indian preparations. He came from Melkote. Melkote? Anyone aware of this place? Melkote? Yeah, somewhere. Is it Karnataka, Melkote? I think it is Karnataka. Anyway, he came. Now that man, he must be around 55 years old. Very simple. He has been a devotee aside from his childhood. He is a brahmachari. And so he came to teach us. So when he came, he had 23,000 rupees in his possession. So he told one devotee, please come here, take this money and give it to my sister, she lives somewhere in Bombay, and he gave the address. That devotee came and told me, this man doesn't even know me, and he is giving me all his money, what he has, to give it to his sister. What if I cheated him? What if I cheat him? Isn't it? So that man was so simple, because he doesn't know what is, you know, duplicity. Very simple. I mean, 23,000 rupees is something, isn't it? I mean, you won't give it to anyone and everyone. He didn't even know that devotee. He just called him, he said, please give this to my sister. So, when one is simple in one's heart, not very complicated, you know. One is very simple, then Gita can be properly understood. One is too politicking, you know, politicking, politics. One is very political or very this thing. It's very difficult. So one has to be very simple. Just like in this scripture, there is explained a story of a South Indian Brahmin. He was illiterate. He didn't know how to read, he didn't know how to write. He knew little bit. So his guru told him, you read Gita. Try to read Gita. So he used to every day open the Gita and he used to try to read it. So all the educated Sanskrit scholars, they would come there and they would make fun of him. They would say, hey, what are you reading? You know how to read? You don't know how to read? And they would make fun of him. And this man, South Indian Brahmin, he would shed tears of ecstasy while reading the Gita. So at that time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came there and he asked him, look, you don't even know how to read it, then why are you sitting in front of the book and why are you shedding tears? So he said, I don't know how to read, but my guru has given me the instruction to read, so therefore I'm trying to read. And I'm shedding tears because I'm thinking that God, being such a supreme personality of Godhead, is taken up the menial service of riding the chariot of his devotee. He's so humble, the Lord is so humble, he's such a bhakta vatsal. Just by hearing this, my heart is melting. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme God Himself, who appeared 500 years ago, told him that you have actually understood the essence of the Gita. And all these Sanskrit scholars who are here around, who have read the Gita and know all the 700 verses of the Gita, and probably all the Bhagavad and all the Vedanta Sutras, have not understood the essence of the Gita. Because the essence of the Gita can be understood when a person has a simple devotional heart. So one has to become simple. Therefore Prabhupada used to often say, we have to, Krishna consciousness is all about simple living and high thinking. Krishna consciousness is all about simple living and high thinking. But these days people are simply living and hardly thinking. Isn't it? I mean, people have become so complex, you know. And you see, so many things are there, like, you know, people have, you know, they take this loan for paying off that loan, and then they take that credit card and this credit card and then that credit card and then this, and then they have this appointment there and a person appointment there and this appointment there and that and this. So many things to do, and you say, Prabhu, why don't you come for a Gita class or something? They say, no time. I have to do this, I have to do that, and people keep themselves so busy for what? You don't understand. For what? One Srila Prabhupada was in America and he saw a big lawn, a beautiful garden. And he said, who made this garden? So one of his disciples said, the materialists have made this garden. So he said, where are the materialists? They are working, Srila Prabhupada. So you see, the material life is like that, that even though you may be working very hard for enjoyment, but you work, you only end up in working and you hardly enjoy. Because the people are working hard to make these lawns, but they don't have time to go on the lawn and sit peacefully and relax. That's why many times we see that even though there are wealthy people sitting in their big homes and they're having 10s and 20, 15, 20, you know, chowkidars sitting at the gates, the chowkidars are peacefully sleeping, and the owners of the houses are having sleepless nights in the house. So much full of anxieties. Because the chowkidar is having a very simple life. No complications. Externally he may appear to be very poor, but his mind is relaxed. But the rich people may appear physically very comfortable, but their mind is in misery. Because material nature is like that, it cheats you. It may show you that you are comfortable, but your mind is in anxiety. Therefore we find people commit suicide when their mind is in distress, not when their bodies are in distress. Not so much. Correct? So therefore to be in misery, mental misery, is greater anxiety. So why to keep one's life very complicated? One should learn to become simple. That is the one of the requirements to understand. And humility. Humility means I don't know. Einstein said that all the knowledge that I have is equivalent to a single grain of dust on this sand, beach. And what is there in this material world can be compared to the ocean. I don't know anything. Einstein said like this. That was his humility. So, in fact, it is not humility, this is a fact. Isn't it? How much do we know? So the best way to serve is to chant God's names. It's the best service that we can do. Best service. So to chant 16 rounds per day is the best service you can do. Apart from this, there are so many duties you can do. So many other things. You can come, distribute books, or, you know, you can serve the devotees prasadam, or there are so many projects, temple constructions, for which you can donate from Lakshmi. Or we have Food for Life, where so much of prasad is being distributed. Or we have eye camps, where blind people are, you know, given vision and people are given Krishna consciousness. So there are all these undertakings which ISKCON has. You can always, you know, serve by donating some of the Lakshmi that we earn in our day-to-day lives. So yajna, dan and tapa. Yajna means sacrifices, which means chanting. Dan means charity. And tapa, austerities. These are the three things which you should always do. These are the ways how we can render service. Nayam Atma Pravachanena Labhyu. Here it is said that by reading simply the Gita, you cannot understand it. But we can understand only when God gives us mercy. Just like now, there is no sun. If you want to find out where is the sun, how can you find it out? If you want to see the sun now, how can you find it? How can you see the sun? What is the technique? Only thing is, we have to wait. When the sun rises, you will see the sun. Correct? Similarly, if you want to understand God, the only way is when God reveals Himself. That is the process. You cannot study books and understand God. No. Because the knowledge of God is a secret. The right to understand God is only given to those who are devotees of God. This is a very important principle. So similarly, in order to get mercy of God, one has to develop, as the previous mentioned, these qualities to attract the mercy of Krishna. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada has translated these books, okay, into English language, because we have no access to the scriptures because they are all written in Sanskrit. So Srila Prabhupada has translated into English. So before going to the West, he sat it in this location in Vrindavan, Radha Damodar temple, and he was translating all the books. And he took inspiration from the Acharyas, with divine inspiration from Rupa Goswami, who has been actually the primary Acharyas in our movement. Taking inspiration from him, he wrote the books. And he used to translate, he used to sleep only for 2-3 hours in a day. And a lot of his time he spent for writing the books, translating the books. Everywhere he would go, anywhere in the world, he would always translate books. So, with divine inspiration, he wrote the books like that. And these books are printed in more than 50 languages all over the world. And it has been distributed, widely distributed all over the world, in various languages. And these books are so powerful that they are changing the lives of so many people all over the world. One such case is of a man who, you know, who was so against Krishna consciousness that when he got a book, Gita, he tore the Gita and he threw it. And his wife, seeing the torn book, she bound it together, she put gum and she bound it, kept it back into the library. And after a few months or a few years, this man, he happened to go through the library and he found the same book which he had torn. And he opened the book, read it, and he became a devotee. So such kind of conversions are there. In Russia, one man, he called up to the temple president and he said, "What have you been doing so long?" So the temple president became very afraid and he kept the phone. Again he called up, he said, "What have you been doing so long?" And again the temple president became very afraid, kept the phone. 3 times he called up. And that man, he called up the 4th time and he said, "Who are you, sir? And why are you so angry?" He said, "Someone sold me a Gita from your temple. And I read the Gita. And it is so wonderful. I have been searching for this Gita such a long time. And why haven't you been distributing these books before? That means you are not doing your work properly." So he is scolding like that. So these are the power of the books. That just by reading these books once, people's lives have changed. One robber came to steal a house. And as soon as he entered, people came to know in the house and they switched on the lights. So he ran away from the home. So he thought, I should take something. So he got a book and he took it. When he went, he saw it was a Gita. So he was thinking, what is this Gita? And he read the Gita and he became a devotee. So there are such cases of people abroad and India whose lives have changed just by reading the books, Srila Prabhupada's books. So they are that powerful. So therefore we should read, and we should encourage others also to read the Gita. So this is one of the very important principles of Krishna consciousness. To chant, to read the books, to take Krishna prasadam and to associate with devotees. Okay? Hare Krishna. So with that we end the slideshow. So anyone has any questions? Sorry? Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Kazakhstan, no? Or Russia? No, 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 it's still under some dispute. It's still going on. There are three kinds of activities: karma, vikarma and akarma. So karma and vikarma do not nullify each other. Vikarma are bad activities against the scriptures. Karma are those activities along the scriptures, along the lines of scriptures. And akarma is devotional activities. So only akarma has a potential to nullify karma and vikarma. So when you become devotee of Krishna, then what happens is that you are doing akarma. Therefore, all the negative things becomes nullified. Yes. Devotional service is the only way. When you chant Hare Krishna, it changes. Like your destiny, you know, you go to see your horoscope. These lines are saying your horoscope, you know, your destiny. So they said in the kirtan when you come, no, when you clap your hands, these lines change. Nullified. Because when you come to Krishna consciousness, Krishna will see that you are taking interest. Now suppose if a person has to die or something on his way back, but at the same time he started taking interest in Krishna consciousness. So if Krishna sees that dying is not suitable now for him, for increasing his Krishna consciousness, then he will, you know, he will somehow make adjustments, because God can do that. So only Krishna can. Therefore in the Brahma Samhita it is said that there's a verse that just like seeds, you know, seeds when you fry them on the frying pan, they don't fructify. Put them in the ground, it will not germinate. Similarly, the seeds of our reactions get fried when you chant Hare Krishna. When you do devotional service, it gets fried. So they don't germinate. Even though they are there, but they cannot. So anything else? You have any questions, any doubts? Yes? So we'll stop here. Okay? So I have one slide which I thought I can show you. The current situation. You know, life becomes so complicated. So for that I wanted to show you something. I think you've seen it.